And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Welcome to an emergency episode of the Daily Ding. You know, you're just sitting back thinking, free agency starts tomorrow. Today's a pool day. Today's the day I can just sit back and relax. Well, you're wrong, because Shams Charania reported James Harden is opting in to his $35.6 million contract for next season in order for the 10-time All-Star and the 76ers to work on a trade together out of Philadelphia. I'm Andrew Schlecht. I've got Dave DeFore here. Dave, we're going to run through some fake trades. Nothing better than a fake trade. Nothing better than the trade machine. So here we go. I'm going to go from...
Nothing better than James Harden ruining my lunch by opting in to $36 million.
That's what he's doing. He was waiting for you to take that first bite, and said, nope, better not, Dave. Don't do it.
One bite.
Okay, I'm going to go from least likely to most likely trades. So we're starting in Orlando, because this is not going to happen. But I would just really, I think this would be very interesting. James Harden to the Orlando Magic for Jonathan Isaac. He's got 2 years left. Gary Harris, he's expiring. Jalen Suggs, who is still on his rookie deal. And then 2 first-round picks.
Now, if the 76ers did not have reigning MVP Joel Embiid, this makes sense. This sounds like a Washington Wizards trade. Like, if you told me this is what the Wizards traded for Bradley Beal, I'd say, oh, okay, taking a flyer on a young guy who was a high draft pick and Jalen Suggs, getting a couple of draft picks, that may be okay. Yeah, but this is the Philadelphia 76ers. This is a team that's supposed to be playing for championships next year. Well, they were supposed to do it this year, but it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, man. This feels like a rebuilding team trade. Are you trying to tell me, are the 76ers going to the process part two?
I think they would turn and use these Orlando Magic picks for something else.
Okay. What they would probably and you think do. Those picks are more valuable than just James Harden?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Listen, I have no idea what James Harden is worth on the open market. I thought I knew what Bradley Beal would be worth, and
I know
I was wrong. Yeah. I couldn't. I think Damian Lillard, of the guys who could possibly be traded, has the most value, but who knows?
Yeah.
It's a weird market.
Yeah. But for Orlando, like, you have Harden, Paolo, Franz, Wendell Carter, Markel Fultz. Like, there's, that'd be kind of interesting in the Eastern Conference.
We got to find a way to blame Airbnb for the depressed James Harden trade market. Because it's like two teams that make any sort of sense. And one of them really doesn't make all that much sense. But, you know, we'll get to it. Because I have a feeling you've got these teams in your fake trades.
We will get there. We'll get there. Okay, fake trade number two. James Harden to the Chicago Bulls. Just straight up for Zach LaVine. Just a swap. Swap the two players.
I mean, I like that for Philly. I think Zach LaVine is a good player. His biggest issue is staying on the court and decision-making. And the number one decision that you have to make in Philly is find a way to get Joel Embiid the ball.
Yeah.
And I don't even think Zach LaVine could really mess that up. As a matter of fact, with his sort of dynamic athleticism, you could see a world in which we could see the best version of Zach LaVine. I mean, certainly Embiid would be the best player he's ever played with.
Sure.
He can really shoot it. He's such a great athlete. I don't mind that trade for Philly. Now, for Chicago, are you going to take the ball out of DeMar's hands and put it in James Harden? Do you have another deal maybe where you're trying to move DeMar? Your defense with James Harden, DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Vucevic, who you just brought back. Oof.
Hey, it's a challenge to that top five defense the Bulls had last year. You know, see what you can do, Billy Donovan.
Yeah.
Can you create some magic here?
Alex Caruso.
Yeah.
He's going to earn himself a max.
Yeah, I like it for the Sixers too. I don't so much like it for the Bulls, but it makes the Bulls different. Are they that much better? I don't know. But they're certainly different. And they might, I mean, James Harden might put more butts in seats than Zach LaVine.
So. That's a fair argument to make. And the truth is, I mean, Harden might be, he's maybe a more effective player still right now. He's just not the dynamic athlete that LaVine is.
Yeah.
But if he's your playmaker and you're figuring out something else for DeRozan, I think you run into an issue there. But he's an upgrade even on DeRozan as a playmaker. I mean, James Harden can still play.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next trade, James Harden to the Miami Heat for Kyle Lowry, Caleb Martin, and a first-round pick.
Hey, sending Kyle Lowry back to Philly. I mean, you know, taking him home, Villanova. There was always talk about Kyle Lowry going to the Sixers. And now, I mean, this is the end of his career type stuff. And you still would have to find a starter at the one spot for Philly. But
Maxie, I guess you could do Maxie worse. And start Caleb Martin.
I mean, you could do worse, right? Yeah. And Caleb Martin shown himself to be a more than adequate scorer, and in the playoffs even. It's not awful. It's not awful. I mean, every option is probably worse than just bringing Harden back and doing it all over again. But there's an argument for the Phillies just needing like more guys who can actually play. I mean, this was a team, I think they struggled to find seven or eight guys that they could trust come playoff time. I mean, could you name four that you really felt comfortable with when they were in the playoffs?
I don't know. Can James Harden pass the body fat test in Miami?
I mean, you know, listen, as a guy who also carries around a lot of muscle, I'll just say this. James Harden is thick.
Yeah.
He's thick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Body fat. Listen, man, that body fat thing is overrated. As long as he's in that, you know, that 12 to 14 range, you know, he'll be fine.
Okay.
Just the abs are still showing.
Just asking the question. That's all. Okay, next trade. Three-team trade. So get ready. Which means it's super-duper not going to happen. But this just solves our entire summer. This is where, if this trade went down, we get to kick our feet up after Summer League. It's all over. Damian Lillard to the Sixers. James Harden to the Clippers. And just a host of expiring contracts, including Marcus Morris, Nick Batum, Robert Covington, and Daniel House, plus three first-round picks to the Blazers.
You know what? I love this. The only way I'd love it more is if you included the Spurs and flip Batum to San Antonio so that Wemby had a nice mentor in place down there.
Hey, let's get a buyout. Let's get a buyout going.
I like this trade a lot for everybody. I think this is one of these things where it allows Dame to make an exit.
Yeah.
And a graceful one. He's going to a team that, if he joins Joel Embiid, that team is in contention to make the finals next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd be a huge upgrade over James Harden. Yep. He is a straight up a better player right now. More effective. Just does more stuff. The Clippers, they want Harden. They need Harden.
Yeah.
They need a guy who can eat innings. He doesn't miss time, right? Like, this guy has been incredibly sturdy in his career. He's going to be consistent for them, put up 25, 10, I mean, maybe even more, because he'll be playing a lot of the time without Kawhi or Paul George.
Yep.
So they need him. He can get them ready, keep them in it for the playoffs. It's another guy who can handle the ball and make stuff happen. And we know Ty Lue doesn't actually want to run offense. So James Harden, perfect guy to throw out there. And for Portland, it gets you out of Damian Lillard business. It gets you a really fast start to your reboot. You've got Scoot Henderson in-house. Nothing to stop you from moving on from Nurkic at that point. You don't need to bring Jeremy Grant back. You can probably find a new home for Simons. And now you can build around your foundational core of Scoot Henderson. And we'll see what Shadon Sharpe winds up being. He's a great athlete. Can he turn into a really good basketball player? But now he would have a chance to figure that out. And so would you. I think this, call it in. That's it. Call it in.
There it is. And like, if I'm the Blazers, I know you'd probably want a young player back for Dame, but I would also much rather have Sixers picks and Clippers picks, because teams that are really good right now are going to fall apart. And then what? And then what? They're usually pretty bad. And you might have yourself, if you just say, hey, just make them completely unprotected, and you got yourself a deal. If you're the Blazers, you just hold everything up until you get those three picks unprotected from both these teams. And they may agree, because both teams, like you said, are going to get what they want. And if you're the Blazers and you can just squeeze picks out of these guys, maybe you can get like a swap or two as well. And you just squeeze both these teams for picks. I think I would do it.
Look, not to sound like a broken record or like everyone else, but the new CBA and that dreaded second apron that everyone is treating as a boogeyman, I think it's secretly made draft assets even more valuable.
Yeah.
Because it is one way you are going to be able to add to your roster potentially good like players that can be in your rotation with cost control. I mean, mm-hmm. those rookie scale deals are, we know what they're going to be. They're very predictable. And you won't have to go dip into free agency to try to find your ninth, 10th guy on the bench as you're bringing in young guys. So if you're a team like Portland, you've got Scoot. I mean, Scoot is the guy. Like, that is your future. Whether Damian Lillard stays or not, like, you're not going to have a winner while Damian Lillard is at this level. It's going to be about Scoot Henderson. So this would be a great way to just go ahead and, I mean, you're not handing the keys to him because he's too young for that, but you're at least saying, this guy is our future. Let's get behind him.
Okay. So it seems like the Sixers and the Clippers are going to do business together. And so there's a world. I don't really see them trading Paul George. I think they're going to try to get away with using picks and using expirings and maybe Terrence Mann as like the way to get this done. There's a really interesting trade, though, where I think like the 76ers, if they're just like, hey, give us Paul George, we'll give you Tobias Harris and James Harden. And then the Clippers find themselves with just a boatload of cap space in the following summer with expirings of James Harden, Tobias Harris. And then you kind of figure out what you want to do before you go into this new building. So I think that is at least kind of interesting. And then if you're the Sixers, you get back like Paul George and then expiring contracts to make that work. I don't see something like that happening.
I don't think Paul George is getting moved.
I don't think so either. I think that this is a move to get a third star with the Clippers. So it will probably look more like this, with like a Marcus Morris, Nick Batum, and then if they want more expirings, like you can include Robert Covington. If you don't want the expirings, you can get Terrence Mann, who would help like right away for the Sixers, like another young piece that can come in. He can kind of run around with Maxie and create some chaos for them. And you get two picks from the Clippers. I think that's probably the road we're heading down to get this deal finished. What do you think about that kind of deal for both teams?
I mean, it's less than ideal, I would say, for the Sixers. If I'm the Sixers, I'm hoping to get like Norm Powell because I need somebody who can come in and score on the wing. Maxie has been good, and I'm with you. I would ride with Maxie as a starter. Like he's our primary playmaker. Let's see what happens there. Everyone's job is to find Embiid anyway, right? So it's an easier task. Maxie's shooting, like I actually think he's going to be even better next year when you consider what he did in the playoffs and the amount of confidence that young players can get from that. New coach, so we'll see how all that stuff shakes out. It's going to be a different offense. But I would still want to get a Norm Powell, a veteran guy. Maybe he's the sixth man. You know, maybe you're saying, Norm, you're going to be our guy off the bench. You're going to run the bench units. You're going to be our scorer off the bench because he can put up 20, 23 off the bench. So, and then you could maybe even close games with him. Remember, this is a guy who was talking about himself as a potential all-star last year. So you like the confidence and you like to bring that in. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, look, for the Clippers, this, again, it makes sense. The innings eater is really what they need. Yeah. I would be worried about just giving up too much for a one-year rental, potentially. But also, like, you're locking yourself in to probably have to extend him to make it worth your while, depending on what you give up. You mentioned the new building in Inglewood. You don't want to run in there without Paul George and Kawhi and James Harden. Like, you got to find a way, if you're making this trade, all three of those guys need to go with you next season. So that's really what you're committing to. That's tough, man.
Yeah, it is tough. And you could, without including Paul George, do Tobias Harris and James Harden. If you did Norm Powell, Marcus Morris, Batum, Covington, and Terrence Mann in picks. This will be the last time that a team that's this expensive can do a trade like that.
That's it.
And
the
so
second apron. Dun dun.
What do you, if you're the Sixers, would you do that for both those guys?
I mean, yeah, why not? Just you clear your books. quite a bit. If you do that, you add some guys who can play. I mean, you're moving on from James Harden. Yeah. That is happening.
Yeah.
So now it's all about get the best that you can. And that actually isn't a bad haul. I mean, I like Terrence Mann a lot. I like Norm Powell a lot.
Yeah.
The rest of the guys are at least guys that in the regular season, they're in your rotation. You know, obviously Covington.
Homecoming.
Struggled. You know, homecoming. Yeah. I mean, and also him and Daryl, you know, like they've got their
it's
history.
It's like such a sad ending to the process, you know?
It's, yeah, well, trading for Robert Covington to make a playoff push. I mean, this is a good thing. You know, but it, again, it, for Philadelphia, it's all about maximizing Embiid. Yeah. And so any of these moves, it's like, okay, so how does this affect Joel?
Yeah.
Are we able to get him healthy into the playoffs? Like, you know, what is the story there? So it's, I don't know, it's a less than ideal situation. I probably would have never traded for James Harden in the first place. But if you can get off Ben Simmons, I guess you got to do it.
I saw somebody say he played one additional game in Philly than he did in Brooklyn.
It's amazing, man. Like, what a amazing league we have in the NBA where guys really just don't play all that much and they bounce around all the time. I mean, if you wanted to collect a player's jersey, right?
Yeah.
You're now, like, if your favorite player hasn't played for three or four teams, it's like, oh, you root for Steph Curry or Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
Maybe Giannis.
It's true.
It's pretty incredible. I mean, James Harden, as a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to change teams again. I still am having a hard time wrapping my head around this stuff, but I don't know. What about Ben Simmons and picks? Should the Nets get in? Hey,
no,
we got a contract that'll match.
Back to the Nets. Let's just
bring them home.
Rewind.
Bring home Ben.
Rewind. Okay, thanks so much for listening to this part of the Emergency Podcast for the Daily Ding. On the other side of this, we're going to talk to Kelly Eco about the Rockets and what they're going to do. It's going to be such an interesting offseason. Stay locked in to The Athletic.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Welcome to a special edition of the Daily Ding here on the Athletic NBA Show podcast. We're going to talk about the Houston Rockets today, who I think are one of the more interesting teams as we head into free agency, mostly because they have so much money to spend, $64 million in cap space, burning a hole in their pocket. And to talk about that, the only person that I'd want to talk to about the Rockets is my guy, Kelly Eco. Kelly, what's up, man?
What's going on, man? Just staying hydrated, you know, trying to prepare for what figures to be a very busy period. So,
yeah,
doing good. How about yourself?
I'm great. I'm doing great. I'm ready for free agency. It's not the most exciting crop of free agents, but
yeah.
I think there could be a lot of movement that happens in the next few days, and the Rockets will be a part of that. Let's rewind. Let's touch the NBA draft real quick. Because the Rockets had, if you just stack up talent, they probably are bringing in the most talent from the draft. Right. When you're talking about Amen Thompson at 4. And then in your wildest dreams, in like with like the most homer Twitter take ever for the Rockets, would you have ever dreamed that you'd come that the Rockets would come away with Amen Thompson and Cam Whitmore in the same draft?
No. Honestly, unless they would have, you know, had to trade up a lot and given up quite a lot of capital to get to, you know, be able to pick two top five, top six talents in this draft class. Because, you know, there was a period during this whole period, this whole pre-draft process where, you know, Cam Whitmore was a guy that was actually being argued for at 4.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you know, the Thompson twins were always going to be, you know, a bit above, you know, guys like Jairus Walker, Taylor Hendricks, Anthony Black, Cam Whitmore. But, you know, because the Houston's process is so diverse and so, you know, expansive, there were good arguments for Cam at 4. So for them to be able to get Amen Thompson and circle back and get Cam at 20, I mean, that's a grand slam of a draft class.
Yeah. I think the fit with Amen makes so much sense. They need somebody to kind of set the table. He's big. He's athletic.
He's the leader. Yeah.
Yeah. And somebody who shows like quite a bit of maturity too, which is something that I think this Rockets team needs. So I think that's great. And I know that like I would have never said like, hey, don't take Cam if he's there at 20. Obviously you're going to do it. But I do wonder if there's going to be enough room for him to spread his wings a little bit in Houston. Is there any concern about that at all?
You mean for Cam?
Yeah, for Cam.
So the way I understand it is, you know, in the last two seasons, the Rockets kind of threw Jalen Green and kind of threw Jabari Smith into the fire early. And part of that is because, you know, of all the chaos that was going on internally, and they were just trying to get those guys on the floor and get them as many minutes as possible. Now, having seen what happens, you know, over the last two seasons, they want to take a more calculated approach.
Okay.
So, you know, don't be surprised if you see at times Cam playing some in the G League. Don't be surprised if you see at times, you know, him just getting a gradual taste of the NBA and getting his way to work his way up into Ime's rotation, because now you're bringing on potentially 3 to 4 veterans in this summer. You all already have, you know, the young core of Green, Jabari, Alperen Sengun, Tari Eason. Ime already said that there won't be anything handed out in terms of playing time, rotation time, you know. So for Amen and Cam, well, Cam specifically, I think there needs to be a specific approach to how you want to ingratiate him into the Rockets lineup, because as you all know, he's very talented, but, you know, there were some questions coming into this whole draft. And, you know, for him to develop at that right rate and that right amount, it needs to be a hands-on approach. So I would expect them to take their time. You know, don't rush anything, because, you know, you have the benefit of having those guys and Russ at the same time now. So now you can take things slowly and, you know, and measure.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. I think that's probably the right way to handle Cam, whether you took him at 4 or you took him at 20.
Right.
So I think that makes a lot of sense. There's got to be some expectations coming for some of these guys this season, with the young core in particular, with it being Jalen Green or Jabari Smith or Sengun, as we've mentioned. Who is kind of behind the scenes expected to make a leap in this offseason and show up as a better player in the fall?
Jalen Green. I would say Jalen Green, just because if you want to make the argument, he kind of started this whole rebuilding process, you know, them getting him at second overall and him kind of being the face of this new phase of Rockets basketball. You know, his first two seasons in the league, we saw a lot of positives, but we also saw some negatives as well. Mm-hmm. And I've always said this, but, you know, Jalen taking the biggest leap is probably the easiest way for these guys to escape, you know, the doldrums of the Western Conference.
Yeah.
If Jalen can turn into an efficient, like 25-point game, 25-5-5 guy in year 3, you know, and actually compete on defense, not only does that raise the floor of your team, because it makes things easier for guys like Amen Thompson, it makes things easier for guys like Jabari Smith Jr., it certainly makes things easier for Alperen Sengun. Now it also raises your potential.
Yeah.
You know, because this is a kid that, from an athletic standpoint, you know, there aren't too many in the league that can match up with him.
Yeah, true.
Explosiveness, drive, power, speed. But, you know, he's still young. He's still adding to his game. You know, he kind of – it wasn't the best 2 years, you know, in the previous regime under Steven Silas, because at times, you know, you're playing alongside Kevin Porter Jr., who's also trying to become a point guard.
Yeah.
And that can come up with its own, you know, drawbacks and stuff like that. But now with Ime in place and having spent some time with him, you know, up close, he understands, or he should understand, what's expected of him. And, you know, now with you trying to bring on guys that have been there and done that this summer, now that only raises the competition even more. And, you know, guys like Jan that could have felt some, you know, because frankly, like, if you want to be honest, like, over the last two seasons, he could have felt like he was the top dog. He could have felt like he was, you know, the alpha in the locker room. But now there's been a big shift. So everyone started from ground zero. And, you know, this is where the real work comes in.
Yeah. You mentioned KPJ. What's next for him?
I think, and Ime kind of alluded to it, but it seems to me like putting him in more advantageous positions for himself, that means more off the ball work, allowing him to revert back to how he's wired as a scorer and a playmaker second. You know, I will give the Rockets credit for bringing somebody in who had a troubled past and being able to develop him in a way that even if he's not a primary playmaker, he can still be, you know, a pretty good secondary, a tertiary playmaker. So, you know, in the course of a half court set, he can make those reads, he can make those passes, but his number one option should be scoring.
Yeah.
You know, he's a hell of a catch and shoot guy. He's still athletic. He's still, you know, he's skilled. He can drive to the basket, three level scorer. But at times it felt like there was too much pressure on him to control Houston's offense and get guys in the right spots and also look for his own shot as well. So as a young player, if you're not wired as a natural point guard, it can be hard. And yeah, we saw kind of that process of him trying to learn on the fly in the midst of Houston's, you know, mess of a season. Like, it was a disaster. Mm-hmm. So I do think that now having Ime in place, who understands, you know, that shooting is a premium and Kevin is a good shooter, bringing in guys like Amen, going on signing guys like Fred VanVleet, you now have guys that can get him shots and get him easier, more efficient looks. So now the pressure isn't on him as much and he can, you know, do the things that he does best.
Yeah. So you're hinting at like a six man type of role where he like comes in off the bench.
And yeah, something like akin to like a microwave scorer, because yeah, he's shown enough where he can go get you 30 if you need to on a given night. He can't, like, he's a good player. Like,
yeah,
I just think that over the last two seasons, he didn't particularly benefit from Houston's lack of cohesion and lack of structure. And some of it is on him because, you know, they gave him the keys, but you have to give someone the keys under the right circumstances. It has to be the right development. It has to be the right system in place to allow for mistakes, but also give room for growth. And at times that wasn't apparent in Houston.
Yeah.
So if you want to put that on him, if you want to put that on Steven Silas, if you want to put that on the front office, whatever, but it has to be for someone like him that comes with his own baggage, it needs to be, you know, all hands on deck type situation. So now moving forward, you know, and he has taken those steps early to kind of speak with Ime, kind of get a clear understanding of his role and what's expected of him moving forward. So he'll be able to contribute in the best way possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people might be like, why are you guys spending so much time on Kevin Porter Jr.? But the guy averaged 19-5-5 last year. Yeah. He shot the best percentage from three of any of the Rockets players.
Yeah, he was arguably the best player last season.
I
wouldn't argue with that.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what happens with him, because I can see a situation where either they sign a point guard or they just slide Amen Thompson in as the point guard and they send him to the bench. And I think it will be very interesting to see what his reaction to that is and how he embraces that role, because he has the talent to embrace a six-man type of role and be a like Jamal Crawford-esque player that plays in the league for a long time. Or he can go the other way where he can be like Christian Wood, where it's like
ballistic. Yeah, because the optics too, because, you know, like even going back to last season, and this is something that I'm trying to see what's going to happen, because, you know, if you look at the locker room dynamics, like Kevin he inherited James Harden's old locker. And for those who don't know how the locker room is set up, Harden had a double locker, essentially. It's the first one when you come into the locker room, the first one to the right. That was Kevin's locker. So if you're telling me that now he might be coming up, and his name is the one that was called last in, you know, in the lineups. And so that means, like, for young players, that means something.
It definitely does mean something. That's true.
So,
it
so
does.
If you're telling me now that he could potentially be moved off the ball and potentially onto the bench, you know, how is he going to react to that?
Yeah.
If he's going to react how I think he will, then it should be fine. But there's always the chance that, you know, it's not.
Yeah. So you can kind of expect it to be, there are two draft picks that I think will play, but mostly Amen Thompson in the rotation. Jalen Green, Jabari Smith.
Yeah.
What's the deal with KJ Martin? Is there any expectation for him, Kenyon Martin Jr., to be back? Because he was another like really good player for them.
He was. He was, especially as a starter. But he's going through a similar thing to what he experienced last season in terms of logjam. Mm-hmm. And last year, if you remember, you know, he wasn't happy because, you know, they had recently re-signed Jason Tate. They just drafted Tari Eason.
Yep.
Eric Gordon was still on the roster.
Yep.
So, you know, his camp approached the Rockets in hopes for a trade elsewhere to open up playing time for himself. That didn't materialize. He remained professional. And Eric Gordon was eventually traded, and he started and actually played pretty well. Now he's back at square one because you draft Cam Whitmore.
Yeah.
You could assign a wing, and you know, Tari Eason has to play more next season. So
yep.
You're the odd man out again. So from what I understand, him and his camp are preparing for the, you know, of being traded, you know, in the near future, because, you know, for the Rockets, if they, I know that they picked up his option today, but if they trade him, that opens up a bit more, like $2 million more in cap space than that. And it might not mean much on the surface, but mm-hmm. you know, if they do sign people to big money and you need to get a little bit more wiggle room, moving KJ makes a lot of sense. So
yeah.
There are a few teams in the West, you know, that are keeping their eyes out for him. So I just think he's the odd man out.
Yeah. I think that makes sense too. Especially you're probably wanting to upgrade that position specifically right. So that you can be better defensively. Okay, let's get to that. $64 million in cap space,
right.
Potentially $66 million in cap space heading into free agency, which starts tomorrow. Mm-hmm. What are the names? You already mentioned one in Fred VanVleet. First, walk me through like the Harden optimism, pessimism at the moment.
So right now, as we're speaking, you know, the Rockets contingent, they're going to LA to, you know, they're going to have some meetings, you know, as free agency begins.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, you know, James and his camp, they're prioritizing a move away from Houston. Like at one point, it sounded like it was going to be a fairy tale emotional return.
Yeah.
You know, the Rockets had the most cap space, and theoretically they could offer him the money he's looking for. But from what I understand, they're not willing to do that. You know, they have to fill up their roster. Like they can't just give you $52 million out of their 60s. Like that makes no sense.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, James is probably going to stay in Philly, but for Houston, now they can shift their attention to a Fred VanVleet, you know, guys like that, because Ime still wants people that are respectable, that command respect in the locker room, that can bring cohesiveness and structure, but he wants winners at the end of the day. And Fred is a champion. He's been to the NBA Finals. He's won the NBA Finals. And he's one of the game's best primary ball handlers that we have today. So all that makes sense. You know, he can come in and from day one change that locker room on its head, because, you know, Fred commands accountability.
Yeah.
You know, people that I play with him, you know, they'll attest to the fact that he is a guy that when he talks to you, you listen. So that aligns incredibly well with what Ime wants to do. So, you know, the VanVleet thing makes sense for sure.
So what's the money look like to pry him away from Toronto or from anybody else? I mean, he'll have other suitors, but the Rockets are going to have so much money to throw at him. What's the number that you have heard that makes sense for him?
So as far as specifics, I haven't heard like the actual, like, to the contract, to the dollar amount for him. But I do know that for Houston, they're going to have to go above market value.
You know,
the whole point of you having all this cap space and being able to flex this financial freedom is, you know, you're going to have to overpay to get some of these guys. Like, let's be honest. Like,
mm-hmm.
they're not coming into a winning situation. You know, there's definitely better opportunities elsewhere. So if you want to bring them to Houston, not only do you have to, you know, convince them of the project, you got to convince them that, you know, well, I mean, there is a plus in coming to Texas because of the no state income tax, but
yeah, sure.
You are coming into a situation that's been the worst team in the NBA for 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for guys like Fred, for guys like, you know, Dylan Brooks, for guys like whoever they want, they know they're going to have to overpay. That's just the reality of the NBA now. And with the new CBA stuff in place, you know, teams are trying to circumvent the cap and trying to find loopholes and stuff like that. But the Rockets, are going to have to be super aggressive, and they're going to have to be super aggressive in a short amount of time because, you know, it's 30 teams in the NBA.
So give me some more names. Dylan Brooks is one that we've heard a lot. I can see how that would work. He's a good defender, tenacious, has played on winning teams. Like, that makes sense. Who else is out there that, like, maybe Rockets fans are, like, saying, hey, we should really get this guy?
Bruce Brown is the guy that the Rockets extremely like.
Okay.
If I was to put him in a tier, I would put him right below that first tier of guys. Right outside the Van Vliet, Dylan Brooks, Brooke Lopez, I'd put Bruce Brown and Keaton Johnson right below. Now, Cam is a bit difficult because he's restricted, and, you know, the Nets probably want to keep him, you know, obviously up to a certain amount. But, you know, Bruce is a guy they like for sure. I mean, he brings a lot of stuff to the table. He's a winner. He's versatile. Although he's not a traditional point guard, he can play. He can, as you've seen over the last two seasons, he can play as a small ball roller or he can play off the catch and, you know, space the floor and defend your team's best player. So there's a lot of reason that those guys like him a lot. Cam Johnson as well. You know, he's more of a prototype, you know, forward, can guard 1-4. He's an excellent shooter. His game is a bit stiffer than you'd like in terms of just that fluidity. But still on a young enough timeline as well. Austin Reaves is another name as well.
Okay.
It's a lot of what they do, especially from an age perspective.
Yeah.
He's a hard-nosed guy, culture guy. He's going to bring that grit. He's going to demand kind of that worker's mentality that you're looking for. Guys like that as well. So another name that they had liked before but is gone was Naz Reid. But, you know, the Timberwolves already picked him up.
So let's say that Van Vliet just decides to re-sign in Toronto. Okay. He's comfortable there. Like, Reaves stays, Harden stays. Where does this cash go then? Like, where do you think that they spend all this money? Because it seems like they're wanting to spend this money. They want to improve the roster now. But if, like, those primary guys are gone, and which I think is actually a blessing in disguise, because that allows you to let your young guys develop a little bit more and maybe just sign maybe role players to put around them rather than giving them, like, some primary guy that's going to take touches and shots away from the supreme talent they have. But what happens then? Like, what's like option B, C, D, do you think, for this squad?
So there's two routes, I think. From what I hear, they're pretty optimistic of also trying to get a meeting with Kyrie in on the next few days. Okay. So that could be a name to watch as well.
How do you feel about that?
Ooh. I mean, he's one of the greatest point guards this game has seen.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of stuff he brings with him in terms of he also commands respect.
Sure.
Some of the off-court stuff is kind of distracting, but he seems to have put it behind him, and at the end of the day, he's a winner, and he wants to, you know, do great. The only thing is that his health is a question mark because, you know, he's gone through a bit of an injury spell recently.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from him, you know, there are other guys that they're looking at. Another guy that's – I think I saw that he opted in was Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's probably staying in Utah, so
–
kind of thin. Like, I mean, they like Donnie DiVincenzo. They like guys like Mike Conley. But another one of their plan, like they had another thought in terms of their pre-draft, pre-free agency planning was that if they don't get a point guard, could you go get a guy like a Bruce Brown that you could put a bit off the ball and still allow guys like Amen, you know, to get as many touches as he needs to develop. So
yeah,
you know, they can go a number of ways.
That I would like. That I would like a lot, because I think that if you want your young guys to be superstars,
right,
you got to let them go through it a little bit. And I know that the patience is wearing thin in Houston, and I get that. But they have a lot. They have a lot.
Well, speaking of that, you know, that was another angle to the James thing, because I heard that he caught wind of Jalen's podcast on with Paul George, and he wasn't too keen on some of the things that Jalen was saying, you know, because. You know, this is a guy in James that, you know, came multiple summers to Houston.
Yeah.
And took him under his wing and kind of mentored him and kind of worked out with him. But and for him to say, you know, it could be good, it could be bad. You know, he didn't like that very much. But it's a podcast, man.
That's amazing. Okay. So let's say that everything goes the way of the Rockets this summer. Okay. They get the guys they want. They head into next season. What does success look like? Because the Western Conference
is loaded.
Is so tough. I mean, Utah got better this past week. OKC is going to get better just because they're getting older. All these bottom feeder teams, I think San Antonio is the only one that I think would be bad, but they just got one of the best prospects in the history of the NBA. So how do they manage to get to where they want to go? And what does success look like for Houston next year, even if everything goes their way?
If everything goes Houston's way, the only way that I would consider a real success, and I think they do as well, is to either A, make the play-in tournament or the playoffs, or just being in that vicinity. Like, they can't have another season with less than 30 wins. There's going to be a lot of changes if that happens.
Yeah,
frankly speaking, because you can't have built up all this financial equity, and you go out and get the guys that you've been talking about for months. You want to bring in winners, you want to bring in veterans. You can't do that and then have a year where you finish less than 30. Like, that's not going to be acceptable by any means. So, I think this phase two that they keep talking about, I think it aligns with, returning to the postseason. So getting to the play-in, being within the earshot of the play-in or something like that.
Yeah. And when you mean changes, does that just mean Rafael Stone? Or does that mean?
Top to bottom. Like, honestly, like, if they have another season of 25 games, I could see a lot of changes from a lot of places. Like, so
I think
there is, I wouldn't call it pressure, but it's expectations, strong expectations for them to have, some significant improvement this season. Hmm.
Go read Kelly at The Athletic. He's always got great info about the Rockets. Go listen to his podcast. Can you find it on like Apple Podcasts as The Ecosystem? Is that what you search for? Ecosystem Podcast? Yep. Go listen to it. It's great. He has lots of great guests on it. Stay tuned in to The Athletic NBA Show. Nerdishy Wrote will drop tomorrow. We'll have a Slam and Jam episode recapping day one of free agency that will be on your podcast catcher early Saturday. So stay locked in to The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.